Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this fellowship time together, Lord. We thank you that you're linking our hearts up together in one accord, Father. We ask, Lord, that you help us out tonight, and that tonight's fellowship is going to be awesome. We thank you for your anointing on all the words that are given, Lord, and that would explain to us how you want to encourage us or show us what's going on, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to save Obama. You've given us that word. We believe it, and we're going to stand in faith to see it, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing to us. Lord, we ask that you take out all the idols in our life. Show us, Lord, what's an idol. Show us, Lord, that there shouldn't be but one idol, and that's you. And that's you, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do tonight with each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Princess to you. Lord, she's not under the curse. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And I thank you, Father, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have it. I command this spirit of infirmity off of Princess right now in the name of Jesus. I command the stomach to be settled. I command everything in her body to be healed in Jesus' name. I command everything to be restored back to normal in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Princess is healed in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that? Amen. Me too. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yes, God is good. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Anything else, Princess, that you need?
Not right now.
Okay. All right. You're healed, girl. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We believe it. We stand on it. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request?
Okay, one more. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Unbelief.
Unbelief?
Yeah.
Okay, can you explain that a little more? You having trouble believing what the word says?
I guess, like, just after all these attacks I've gone through, it's like a plague of them, and I'm just trying to believe. I'm trying to just push forward.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you a few questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any bitterness in your heart toward anybody? Any unforgiveness in there?
Well, I mean, I've repented and, like, confessed it to God. I know, like, my stepfather, you know, lately I've been struggling with that because I don't know if there's stuff going on in my house that's like divination, and I don't know if he's doing things against me. And, you know, I cry out to God and I ask that he helps me to forgive if it is, you know, or even if it's not. That's the only person that I can think of, if it's that.
Okay, well, let's ask the Lord. Are you having trouble forgiving him for whatever it is that he's done?
It's been the past, yeah, like, stuff that's just added up to this point, if he is doing it. And my mom knows everything from the past, and nothing's been done. Stuff has just happened and happened and happened. And I, like, suffered in silence, just, but I still put a smile on my face and, you know.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do then. we're going to pray that God the Father is going to take that unforgiveness out of you. You're having, it sounds like you're having trouble, but then after we pray, Francis, you're going to have to believe that he's working in there, okay? And then we're going to come against those attacks, okay?
Okay.
And God's going to do it. Wade, can you mute your phone? Wade? I don't see if I can. All right, I got it. Okay. All right, so let's do that. Father, you hear Princess's, she wants to be delivered of all of this stuff, Lord. She wants all of this bitterness and unforgiveness out of her. She doesn't know how to get rid of it herself, but Lord, you do. She's going to place her faith in you to remove it from her. And she's just like she said, Father, she's going to put a smile on her face and a skip in her walk from now on, because she knows you're in charge and you have already done, taking that away from her. And I thank you for it, Father, that you have taken all unforgiveness out of her heart toward her stepfather. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that she's from this point on, she's going to start blessing her stepfather. Lord, we thank you for that, because when we bless people that have done us wrong, Lord, we know that it turns our heart around to loving them, Lord. Even with all the bad things that have been done in the past, we know that it erases all the bitterness and anger out of our hearts when we bless them and we pray for them. And I thank you for doing that, Father. Now, in the name of Jesus right now, Satan, I come against you right now. Lord, this woman is your child. She belongs to you. And it ain't right that the devil should dominate her through all of these attacks that she's going through, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that you have come against the devil. You have put that wall of hedge of protection around, Princess, that these devils can't have access to her anymore, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that you have placed great and bold faith in Princess's heart, Lord, to believe what your word says. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, in his mighty name. Now, devil, You quit tormenting her in Jesus' name. You don't have a right anymore, so you got to go. You got to go in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody else said, what? Amen. Praise God. Everybody shaking their head.
Amen.
So we believe it. And you believe that, Princess?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Amen.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to ask that even during these next few days before we meet together Thursday, we're going to hear a praise report from Princess, how God has really helped her out. But I want everybody in here, if you think about it, to pray in the spirit for Princess, okay? If y'all don't mind, I'm going to. And I know God's going to do a mighty work in her, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? Nobody else needs a prayer. Everybody's good. Everybody good to go. Everybody prayed up. Okay. Praise God. Before we even get into the praise reports and the testimonies, I want to read something from our morning prayer meetings this morning. The Lord showed us some things about what we need to do as a body, okay? Repent of idols so we may escape. There is a consistent theme and warning in the words given to us this morning in our prayer meeting that the Lord has showed us. Eve got Isaiah 31:9, and we're going to read 6-9. Turn ye unto him from whom ye have deeply revolted, O children of Israel. For in that day they shall cast away every man his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for sin. And David says, do this or you will not get this. And this is the next verse. And the Assyrian shall fall by the sword. In other words, when you pray, and if you don't repent of idol, and one of the things that we found out here is that people are becoming news junkies. There's so much going on in the world that they're staying on the news more than they're in the Word, and that's an idol. So the Lord has told us to back off of that and focus on Him all the time.
Excuse me. Yes. What was that scripture again? I want to write it down.
Isaiah 31.
Okay, thank you.
6-9.
Thank you.
Somebody want to write that on the chat? Matthew, do you mind doing that for me? It's Isaiah 31, 6-9. And I'm at verse 8 right now. And the Assyrian shall fall by the sword. That's the northern army. That's Pharaoh at the Red Sea, praise God. Not of man and the sword, not of men, shall devour him, and he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall become subject to task work, and his rock shall pass away by reason of terror, and his princes shall be dismayed at the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. And David says the key here to victory over the enemy is verse 6. Repent and turn away from things that have taken God's place and His time in your life. Because of the imminent threats I shared last night at the prayer meeting, we must individually obey now or we will not escape judgment. It doesn't matter that you're in UBM. It doesn't matter where you are or who you are. It matters who you know, doesn't it? That's what matters. And the things that he shared last night is things that are coming on the horizon that we've seen. And one of them is this comet that's coming through between Earth and the sun that could bring about a CME. Coronal mass injection, which knocks out electricity. Another thing is, I forget. There's three things. The 25th, the 26th, 24th, 25th, the 26th, and the 1st is when these things are going to happen, may happen. And he'll probably share that tomorrow. So be sure and listen to it.
Is that good, Michael?
What's that? The chat?
Yeah.
6-9. Yeah, that's it. That's good. Okay. This is the word the Father, this is Eve talking, gave me for a portion of a dream I had this morning. I dreamed that David and I were standing to the right of my son Elijah. He was lying down on an operating table. He was asleep, awaiting surgery. He was a giant, and we were standing at his head. Elijah had lost a lot of weight, and you had marked him, David had marked him, to remove the excess skin from his torso. And I looked down at his torso, which David had marked up with a black surgical marking pen in preparation to do plastic surgery and remove a lot of excess skin / flesh from off of him. And David says, the excess skin represents the ability or capacity to put on flesh. In other words, temptation overcomes you. If God removes this capacity to sin, the temptation fails to seduce us. This is a gift from God, but only for those who repent. Only for those who repent. David said, as I was looking down upon Elijah, it will be delayed. I asked why. And he said, because they're not ready. And then David says in answer to that, he said, God's gift to take away our flesh will not be given without repentance. The word we just received is, don't touch the dead man or you will be defiled for 7 days. The bride escapes the 7 days of tribulation because she is sanctified from touching the dead man. Separate yourself from the old man and his lusts and concentrate on God. The news junkie spirit is bringing chastening on many. That's here locally. Bring in bad spirits of anger, faction, witchcraft, confusion, and temptation. Listening to faction and witchcraft can bring those spirits against you. Even if you think you're on the right side, fast from it. And people who push it before you miss God. Don't talk to the factious. You're not stronger than God's many warnings. TV also is bringing in witchcraft, in other words, rebellion and sickness. Food is another idol. Any other love right now is dangerous other than Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so, run, that ye may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now, they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I, therefore, so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. Don't give your flesh what it wants, or you're going to be rejected from the bride. Consecrate yourself to God and make no plans of your own. I was disappointed. This is Eve. This is back to Eve. I was disappointed at this delay, as he then said, you must help them. So I began to go around to different sick and elderly people in the hospital. Now, David says, we are the hospital, so listen to the healer. And doing what I could to help them and show them love and care. And that's all she remembers of the dream. Leon got, after this question, he said, the question he asked the Lord was, will the threats coming the last week of December the 1st through the first, last week of December through the first week of January happen? And he got Isaiah 27, verses 1 through 6. In that day, the Lord, with his hard and great and strong sword, will punish Leviathan, the swift serpent, and Leviathan, the crooked serpent, and he will slay the monster that is in the sea. David says, slay the devil, that's the flesh, and sin by the word, so you may have this. In that day, verse 2, in that day, a vineyard of wine, sing ye unto it, I the Lord am its keeper. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Wrath is not in me. Would that the briars and thorns were against me in battle. I would march upon them. I would burn them together. Or else let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. Yea, let him make peace with me. In days to come shall Jacob take root, Israel shall blossom in bud, and they shall fill the face of the world with fruit. Praise God. Missy got Esther chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Then were the king's scribes called in the first month on the 13th day thereof. And there was written according to all that Haman commanded. That's the judgment to come, y'all. Unto the king's satraps, unto the governors that were over every province, unto the princes of every people, to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and it was sealed with the king's ring. And letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month. Well, that's our December, isn't it? Which is the month Adar. And to take the spoil of them for a prey. Verse 14, a copy of the writing that the decree should be given out in every province was published unto all the peoples, that they should be ready against that day. The post went forth in haste by the king's commandment, and the decree was given out in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. I asked, do you want us to pray this down? Missy asked this to the Lord, and she got three heads as a confirmation. But David says, by repentance and then faith for deliverance. In other words, we have to be repented up and prayed up. And then that God will give us the faith to pray this down. Okay? Now I've got to go and get the rest of it. I don't know why it didn't print it all out, but it didn't. Okay. Marlene got 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Patty got John chapter 9, verses 31 through 41. John chapter 9, 31 through 41. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth. David says, if we walk in the flesh, we will not be used as Jesus was. Verse 32, since the world began, it was never heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And David says, there's no power in sin. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And David says, or self-righteousness. Well, they were self-righteous, wasn't it? And they cast him out. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and finding him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, and who is he? Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment came I into this world, that they that see not may see, and that they that see may become blind. Verse 40, those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things, and said unto him, are we also blind? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, your sin remaineth. What some harsh words, isn't it? Anna had Mark chapter 10, 49 through 52. And Jesus stood still and said, call ye him? And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, rise, he calleth thee. and he, casting away his garments, which is self-works, sprang up and came to Jesus. And then we come to Jesus, David said. Verse 51, and Jesus answered him and said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, David said, well, whatever you want now, you can have, okay? And the blind man said unto him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And straightway he received his sight and followed him in the way. Praise God. That's where God wants us. Throw off those old garments. Throw away that old man. Get it out of there. Matthew had Joel chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the pommel worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. And David says the curse has ruined God's crop. Verse 5, awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and wail, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. David says, the curse devoured God's people because of their idols. Joel's northern army is still coming in chapter 2. They cry to God in repentance, and he destroyed them. That's what he wants us to do. Brandy got Job chapter 30, verses 12 through 18. Upon my right hand rise the rabble. They thrust aside my feet. And they cast up against me their ways of destruction. They mar my path. They set forward my calamity. Even men that have no helper, as through a wide breach they come, in the midst of the ruin, they roll themselves upon me. Terrors are turned upon me. They chase mine honor as the wind, and my welfare is passed away as a cloud is gone. And now, my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have taken hold upon me. In the night season, my bones are pierced in me, and the pains that gnaw me take no rest. But God's great force is my garment disfigured. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. David says, many Jobs are going through their trials now, but in the end, he repented of self-righteousness, and the Lord turned it all around. I believe the turnaround will be the man-child and bride ministry for the faithful. Now, I got Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and it's kind of the whole thing there. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I called by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou didst cast me into the depth, in the heart of the seas, and the flood was round about me. All thy waves and thy billows passed over me. Verse 4, and I said, I am cast out from before thine eyes, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The deep was round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed upon me forever. That's to turn around. Yet hast thou brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And David says, lying vanities are the excuses the devil gives for catering to your flesh. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Praise God. And Don Laughlin got Matthew chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. Matthew 21, 4 and 5. Now this has come to pass that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did even as Jesus appointed them. Judy got Jeremiah 34, verses 1 through 5. The words which came unto Jeremiah from Jehovah, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth that were under his dominion, and all the peoples were fighting against Jerusalem, and against all the cities thereof, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand. And thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon. And he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord concerning thee. Thou shalt not die by the sword. Thou shalt die in peace, and with the burnings of thy fathers, the former kings that were before thee, so shalt they make a burning for thee, and they shall lament thee, saying, ah, Lord, for I have spoken the word, saith the Lord. David says, sadly, they ignored the warnings, which we also have received, and it came to pass. Kurt got Luke chapter 4, verses 22 through 27. And all bear him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, doubtless you will say unto me this parable, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done at Capernaum, do also here in thine own country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But of a truth I say unto you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land, and unto none of them was Elijah sent, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And David says, because Israel didn't obey, the Gentiles took their crown. He is able to raise up stones to take our place. Amen. Shalonda got, when we repent of idols, what may we do then? Believe and be justified? That's what she asked. That's the questions that she asked the Lord. When we repent of idols, what may we do then? Believe and be justified. Romans 3, 21 and 31. But now, apart from the law, a righteousness of God hath been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. For the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. Where then is the glory? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? Nay, but by law of faith. We reckon therefore that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yea, of Gentiles also. If so be that God is one, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make the law of none effect through faith? God forbid. Nay, we establish the law. David says again, repent and believe, escape judgment. One more, y'all. Sue Gilbert got Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 through 22. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. David says, holiness / sanctification separates us from the camp, and it brings reproach from the religious. Boy, does it. Verse 14, for we have not here an abiding city, but we seek after the city which is to come. Verse 15, through him then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of lips which make confessions to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls, as they that shall give account, that they may do this with joy and not with grief, for this were unprofitable for you. And David says, a text that has been given to us several times is Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 32. And as for thee, son of man, the children of thy people talk of thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their gain. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And then verse 18 of Hebrews 13 says, pray for us, for we are persuaded that we have a good conscience, desiring to live honorable in all things. And I exhort you the more exceedingly to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. David says, the sooner we obey, the sooner we get it restored. All it takes is repentance. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus, make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 22, but I exhort you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for how I have written unto you in few words. So as you can see, all of these verses are telling us that we need to repent from any kind of idol worship, and then start running after God. This is the time. It looks like God is fixing to do something here, but he wants his people spotless and blemishless. And once they get spotless and blemishless, ooh, we're going to see some stuff. But we have to repent and we have to believe. Glory to God. We have to have that faith that he wants us to have. And you know, as well as I do, it's God that gives us the faith. We don't have to worry about that. Praise God. Okay. That's the little bit of stuff that we've been, actually we've been seeing this quite a bit lately. News junkie stuff, being, you know, watching the news continually, doing things that keep you away from God. You know, we can always figure out stuff to do to get away from God, you know. You'd be sitting down with the Bible and something will come up in your brain. Well, I need to do this before I start this. Next thing you know, the day's gone. I've had it happen to me a number of times, and I just have to make myself to get down, you know. And so, okay, I need to get in the Word. I need to commune with God. And once you do that, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to that or a question to ask concerning what we're talking about here? Okay. All right. What about a testimony or praise report? Y'all raise them hands. Look at there. Okay, Stan, you and Claudia.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Oh, I just wanted to say that this really spoke to me because last week I just got so tired of being on a computer and seeing the news. I'm guilty of that one. And so one day I decided I am not going to be on this computer all day long. And the Lord really blessed me a lot that day. I saw a lot of miracles that day. So that's it.
Amen. Praise God. He don't want us hung up on that. You know, you can get caught on that YouTube watching Hannity or watching somebody else do all that stuff, tell you all that stuff. You've already heard it before. But we know it may or may not be the truth, you know. We know that when we pray, things happen. And it's God's plan for us to bring about these things that are this stuff you're seeing right now up here in Washington, D.C. is because of our prayers, everybody's prayers in UBM and across the world, because God gives us these things to pray for, and he says, if you pray for it, I'll fix it. And so we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about anything. God has put that man up there for a reason. It don't make any difference what the New York Times says or the Washington Post or any of those news things. What matters is what God says. And, you know, we all get caught up into that at times. Now God says it's time to quit. He says it's time to start believing me and start repenting from being a news junkie. Or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, get away from that idol worship and start tuning in to him. And you'll be blessed because of it, I guarantee you. God said. And God said it's going to happen. All right, anybody else?
Nobody
is, you know. Amen. That's exactly what he was speaking to me too, Claudia. Quit getting on that computer so much. Anybody else want to share a little something? All right, Matthew.
I just wanted to share a little bit of a testimony what the Lord has been showing me lately.
Okay.
The Lord has been showing me to keep believing for things, even though the outcome doesn't look so good, you know. Yep. Especially this past week for me, the cold symptoms came on me early last week, and we prayed and agreed, and they left, and then came right back that night, and then. Apparently, I came across some poison oak, and it was getting to the point to where I was about ready to give up, and I decided just to, you know, take a rest and maybe take a little nap and turn on an audio, listen to David Eales. And the first thing I hear is, keep the faith, keep holding that faith, you know? And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, because I searched my heart, you know, like, Lord, is there anything, you know, that I'm doing that's bringing this on me? And basically what I got out was the trial of my faith. Yeah. And I'm completely healed of the sicknesses, and the spots are going away.
Amen. Amen. You know, you ought to pray against that coming from your fireplace, because if there's poison ivy on that and you're not a believer, that poison ivy can get out there and get on you. So just pray that just pray we're not going to accept that in Jesus' name anymore. And it won't happen again.
What do you mean by your fireplace?
Well, because that poison ivy gets on sticks of wood, those little vines, and it produces, the smoke itself will produce that poison ivy. But if you're a child of God and you believe, that's your child of your faith that you're believing right now. So you just say, well, it ain't going to happen to us because we're believers. Amen.
Again, so.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's see what's standing. Claudia's got. Go ahead. I went ahead and muted you.
Okay. Yeah, I had a couple praise reports. Can you hear me? Okay. I think it was last Thursday, I asked for a prayer for my tooth, and it is doing a whole lot better. Praise the Lord. And also, I went to the BMV today and renewed my driver's license and took the vision test, and I don't have to wear glasses when I'm driving. So.
That's awesome. That's good. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was concerned about that.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I did. It's a funny story. When I took my vision test down here in Tennessee to get my driver's license, I went up first time I just failed it. And I didn't have all the proper identification, whatever it is that they needed, you know. So I went back with everything they wanted. I think everybody can relate to that. You got to have everything stamped and laid out just perfect for them. Well, there's two women that work in the DMV there up here where we are. One of them is a great big woman that's real easy to get along with. And then there's a little short Nurse Ratchet type. That, man, she just won't listen to you. So I just prayed for her and in there, Lord, I need the big woman. I don't need Nurse Ratchet today. I need to pass this thing and get on through, you know, get my driver's license. So she said, take the vision test and stand them things. You know, I could see the first two or three real easy, but that last one down there, I couldn't make out what it was. And I just went through them. I went through the first two lines or three lines, whatever it was, and just bam, 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 bam. I didn't slow up. I just went to going through that last line. I just said a bunch of letters. And she said, okay, that's good. I swear to God, that's what happened, man. That's what happened. And she passed it. But that's just the way they are. Praise God. And I prayed before I went in there, so God helped me out. All right. Yeah, praise God you got your driver's license renewed. I've got to get mine renewed here next year in March. So been here already 5 years, for goodness sake. All right, anybody else? Is that you, Brandy? Is that Lakeisha? Ain't nobody talking. Okay. Let's see. Last week we asked that everybody get a word out of Proverbs, a word of encouragement, or how'd I put that? A word of encouragement, or how'd I say that?
Correction.
Okay, correction or encouragement from the Lord. And did anybody get one?
Yes.
Oh, come on now.
I got one.
What'd you get, Jackie?
I got Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that eat it shall eat the fruit thereof. Isn't that pretty clear?
I don't want to hear that. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Amen.
That is a good one. Anybody else? Power of the tongue. What is the power of the tongue? I confess in our faith, isn't it? Confessing our faith in the Lord. Go ahead, Matt.
I got one, and then my wife got one. So I got Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Are you there, Michael?
Gotta unmute. Yeah, a man gifts makes room for him and brings him before the great. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. What'd that mean? What'd that mean to you, Matthew?
I kind of saw it as, you know, like the gifts that the Lord gives you, you know, the prophesying, praying in tongues, you know, the interpretation of tongues, all that, you know. That the gift.
That's a good gift, yes.
Get from the Lord. It makes room for you, and it brings you before great men, you know.
You Amen. Go
before people using you, the gifts that the Lord has given you to bring them to Him.
Amen. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I got Proverbs 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that worketh with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich.
Okay, this version, I got an ESV here. It says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. That's a good one. How many of you know when you don't work, you don't eat? You don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work in God's kingdom, you don't eat. And that's the way it is out in the world, too, generally. Unless you got a lot of money. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. That's also true in the spiritual realm, too, isn't it, Anna? Yeah. If you don't eat the word of God, you're not going to get rich in the kingdom. You're not going to store up that stuff in the kingdom, are you? Are you making taffy?
No, it's a rug.
Oh, okay. I thought she was making taffy. Okay.
No, we did that once, and we cooked it too much, and it turned into hard candy. It was good, though. Okay. But I don't try it again.
Okay. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Hey, Joe.
I got Proverbs 11, verse 26.
Okay.
He that withholdeth grain, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it.
Okay. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. What does that mean to you, Joe? What you reckon we can get out of that?
But it made me think of Luke 12, where Jesus talked about the guy who pulled down my barn and built up a bigger one. It's not to store up, it's to see people in need. Give it to him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sowing and reaping. Well, all right. Anybody else?
Hey, okay, Michael. This is Denny and Debbie.
Okay.
I got Proverbs 7:1-2. It says, son, remember what I say, and never forget what I tell you to do. Do what I say and you will live. Be as careful to follow my teaching as you are to protect your eyes.
Amen. Let's go on a little bit further. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart.
Amen.
Praise God. That's good.
Jesus. Yes.
That's the love of God, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Praise God.
Deb will read hers.
Okay, I got Proverbs 13:16. In everything, a prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly.
Let me get over there. Yeah. What does that mean to you, Debbie?
It means in everything a prudent man acts with knowledge.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Don't cast your pearl before swine, maybe?
Yeah.
A prudent man does what? He thinks it's prudent.
Knowledge, yeah.
The fool just throws it out there. Okay. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael, I didn't actually do any random stuff. I actually listened to Proverbs a few times.
Okay.
Cracked up half the time. Just cracked. I mean, it's just, oh man. I mean, you know, I listen to Psalms a lot. I've listened to it over and over and over for years. And then when it comes to the end of the Psalms, I just go back and start over again. And so poor Proverbs gets neglected. So it's kind of new to me to be listening to Proverbs. And anyway, let me just make a couple comments about Proverbs generally. It seems like just a lot of common sense, just principles, like Deuteronomy 28. You know, where there's a principle there of why people get sick and experience things. And there's some texts in Proverbs such as, the man who has as a son a fool, it causes him a lot of hardship. And the thing is, the gospel really trumps a lot of these principles, because God, the whole point of Jesus coming was to save his people from their sins, as it says in Matthew. So when we're praying for our family members, even though these principles apply, we're praying for God's mercy and for his and holding on to his promises, that even though the principles are there and the curses are specified, we still are holding to the promises that God will restore the years of the locusts have eaten. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, for instance, your grandson that you're praying for and others in your family. So, but there's a text that kind of stood out to me. I kind of latched onto it in Proverbs 14. Verse 15. There's a lot of good texts. This has just kind of stood out to me, and it's not like a revelation. I'm not trying to bring it to a level of prophecy or something, or a word from the Lord for tonight or anything. It's just something that stood out to me. And that is, and I've got like 8 versions in front of me here. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And here's another one, let's see, the Holman Christian Standard Bible. The inexperienced one believes anything, but the sensible one watches his steps. And let me see, here's another one, another version. The simple will believe every word, but the clever will consider his steps, or his step, singular. So, I mean, we've all run across people that are they tend to be true believers, kind of in a sarcastic sense. And whatever they hear is like, oh yeah, wow. And of course you get into trouble doing that. So anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that kind of maybe goes along with that a little bit is that even though there's an evil day approaching, the fool, the wise will kind of cover his steps or take shelter, whereas the fool just goes on and is punished. It's kind of the same idea. Well, not the same idea, but kind of a parallel thought.
Mm-hmm. I like verse 26 down there. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge.
Proverbs is just a gold mine. There's so much there. Oh my. And of course, when you're listening to it in audio, you're not stopping. You're going from one thing to the next, and it's like, oh my, wait. But if you're working with your hands, you can't stop it. You just, okay, here you go. Here's the next one.
Yeah. That's like it. It's one right after another, and it's generally pretty different. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1 said, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many of you know that's true? you can calm it down if you want to, or you can.
Yeah, I got in trouble today with that very thing. At least that principle. We had about 8 inches of snow fall last night, and so I spent a good part of the night, or I guess all the shoveling, trying to get the cars cleared out so the family could get to work, and then today. Somebody came and did some plowing in our area, but they covered up some other cars I had to get to, and so I wasn't real happy about that. But in the process of talking to them, it became a huge crisis, and like the relationship was over kind of thing, and, you know, so the soft answer kind of helped diffuse all the anger and frustration. And
it generally does. When you get angry, they get angry too, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't angry. I had to be really quiet and humble and eventually calm down.
Okay. Well, good. Awesome. Well, okay. Anybody else? All right, Andrew, what you got, brother?
Well, I try to read a proverb a day because, you know, it's 30 proverbs, 30 days in a month. But this one I always liked. It's the beginning of Proverbs 23. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meats. That's not the Hamburglar in McDonald's, by the way. It's,
Okay. Oh, man.
and I just remember that because that was the first time I read that. That's who came to mind. Well, those are those guys who take everything away.
French fries.
Hamburglar.
Yeah.
Anyway. It could be, like you say, what's on the news, you know, that's a journalist trying to give an opinion. Those government employees, government workers too, governors, and, even from a person who speaks from any pulpit, like, sometimes a pastor, and if you're going to take in everything people say without checking it, then you'll get in trouble. And that's why it says that I guess, to slice your throat because you want that word to come out of you before it gets into your heart and into your mind. And, I just always liked that one, you know. It's warning you about the food you should not eat. And from where it comes, there's only one mouth you have to take the food from, and that's from the Lord.
That's that manna from heaven, isn't it?
Amen.
That's the manna from heaven. Something else along the physical lines that the Lord has shown us is that some people have a food as an idol. I know at times I do, and I have to repent, but that's something else you might everybody might just take a look at. If food is more important to you than fasting and getting close to God, then it's an idol. So just something to think about. But this is right here. Get that manna from heaven. That's the best stuff. That'll satiate all your appetites right there.
That would be like, John 6:33. For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yep, that's it. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. It's the ESV, not the ASV. This is my reading Bible. I like to read it. All right. That's good, Andrew. Anything else? Is that it?
Well, there's the one in, because today's the 20th, so okay. I just found number 12 was really neat because it's something Jesus also made very much mention of in all the Gospels. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord have made them both. The Lord hath made even both of them. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. So the hearing would be the teaching, and the seeing would be the prophecy.
Amen. Or it could be with your spiritual ears and your spiritual eyes listening and reading the Word of God with those and listening to it too. Amen. That's good. Man, you can go different all kinds of ways with that one. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. Aha. 15. There is gold and abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Amen. That's right.
How does that song go? We are gems and here to say we're serving the Lord.
Go ahead, sing it, brother.
That's the only verse I remember.
Okay. All right. The purpose in the man's heart. This is number 5. Boy, this proverb is just plumb full of good stuff. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. He's going to search it out, ain't he? Okay. Anybody else? Get a word. That's good, Andrew. Thank you. Anyone else? I got Proverbs chapter 19, verse 13. Proverbs 19 and 13. A foolish son is ruined to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. Yep. How can we put that in the spiritual? What if it's somebody that you've been ministering to that brought them to Christ or whatever, and you're their spiritual father, and then they go off away from the Word? That's a ruin. A wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. All right. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. That's another good one. All right, anybody else? Anybody else get one, get a word out of Proverbs? I hear somebody unmuted. Let's see, that's Debbie. I think. That's all right, I got you. Awesome. All right. Anybody got any testimonies or praise reports they'd like to glorify the Lord with?
Okay, I have something to share.
Okay.
I did a little working at a nursing home in August, and met this woman there. I've shared with her, shared her with you guys. Her name is Judy Carrick, and she has MS. And I've been able to share with her a lot and talk with her, and she prayed the prayer to receive Jesus and put her faith in him. And so I was there just the other night with other women. Well, last Thursday. I couldn't be here because we're at the nursing home ministering with other women. And then while I was there, though, I got to see her, and that was really good. But I saw this other woman there who when I stopped to talk to her, she just looked different. I had seen her and talked to her before when I worked there. And she's in her early 50s. I don't know really why she's in this nursing home. She walks around and not sure why she's there. But I went over to her and I said, "Well, I've really missed seeing you." She goes, "Yeah, what happened to you? I've missed you too." But I noticed her face. I noticed such a difference about her, that there is something different about her. And right away, I felt the Spirit of the Lord. But has she always been saved? I didn't know it. But she always had like a lostness to her face. And this time her face was so relaxed. And her eyes were brighter. It was just different. So I was talking to my sister-in-law, Denny's sister-in-law, actually, who was a nurse. And she used to work there. And she had gone back to visit, too, just a few nights before that, maybe a week or so before that. And she walked up to Sandra when she saw her and said, "Sandra, I just have to ask you, are you saved?" She said, "No." She said, "Do you want to be?" And she said, "Yes, I do." So she led her to the Lord right then and there, a week or so before I saw her. So I let her know. I said, "That's what I was witnessing in her then when I met with her. There definitely, I want you to know that it really happened." She really meant it, because there is just something different in her. And I've never really experienced that before, seeing that in someone like that. That I just looking at her, I could tell there was something different about her countenance and her eyes and from the time I saw her last. So praise, I just want to praise God. Yeah, his Spirit's out there moving. And Helen, my Denny's sister-in-law, was so grateful, because you know she knows that, boy, God's Spirit is moving, because she had also talked and shared with Judy, the woman with MS. And so, you know, God's Spirit is out there moving through believers in places like hospitals and nursing homes, and we need to keep praying and lifting the believers up in these places, that God will really give them the boldness and the faith and to share with these people.
Amen.
Yeah.
Do you go out there often?
I go there about once a week and visit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Praise God. That's good.
Amen.
Those elderly people, they really enjoy that, because they can't get out a lot to do what they want to do.
Yeah, they do.
I know someday, Debbie, I'm going to walk in one of them nursing homes. If somebody's out of this group's going to walk in one of those nursing homes and empty it out.
Okay. I know, yes. Demons
are going to go flying, man. They're going to wonder what happened to them. And them old folks is going to come out of there just a hopping and a jumping. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
God do it. Amen.
You know, Michael, I play at the nursing home once a month, just kind of dinner music. But one of the things in Proverbs kind of stood out to me, and that is singing or music when somebody's in distress is a bad thing. it makes it even worse for them. And I was thinking, you know, the poor people that are just trapped in these prisons there in their bodies, the most, you know, terrible suffering. And here I'm regaling them with all this music.
Why does that bother them?
No, this is in Proverbs. It says music for somebody who's in distress makes it all that much worse. So it's just something in Proverbs that I heard. So,
oh, okay.
So, yeah, but no, a lot of people.
Remember what happened to Saul, don't you?
Yeah, it kind of calmed the spirit down for a bit there.
Yeah.
But it was just, yeah, I'll have to go back and look at that text and kind of figure out what the writer is saying, or what the principle is there. I know the music can really help people, even to tears, you know, and it's people stay or hang around for a long time.
Yeah.
After the meal. But there are some people that are really irritates. They say, I'm going to break off your arm. And I said, well, I'll just keep playing with the other arm.
Oh, break your arm off. Good gracious.
Where are the demons, you know?
Where are you playing at?
The poor guy couldn't even get out of his chair, so I don't know what he was thinking. But
oh, for goodness sake. That man needs some deliverance, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of demons.
Yep.
It's so heartbreaking because I feel like, wait, stop playing the piano, turn around, and let's get some people walking out this door right now. This is crazy. You know?
Yeah, I know.
I have to say it's way frustrating. It's just terribly frustrating to just sit there to try to relax, just play, and watch all this hell going on around me.
You know what I used to do, we used to do when we go into a nursing home with a musician, is bind up those spirits before we ever said a word. Is bind them up in the name of Jesus. Y'all sit down there.
Yeah.
Act like you like it whether you do or not, you know. And it works most of the time.
Yeah. Well, one thing I could do more is pray in tongues, and I do intercession while I'm there, but I could concentrate on it more. I tend to really concentrate when I'm playing. It takes a lot of effort, but
yeah. Do you play that elevator music?
Yeah, some of it's elevator. Some of it's airline music. Well, that I heard back 50 years ago. Or, like this time of year, I just play some Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Or hymns. I actually put a lot of praise songs in there, so it might be kind of sacrilegious because I'll do like songs like I Love You, Lord.
Yeah.
And and all those kinds of songs, and the next thing you know, I'm going to be playing something like something from Bread.
Oh gosh!
I saw her diary underneath the tree. You know. Oh well.
Oh gosh! Goodness gracious! Lord help us!
Right. No, but it is, I don't know, it's just some songs that have just an inherent beauty in the music,
do.
You know.
Well, Brad has some good songs.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine, real good friend of mine, that was a great musician. In fact, he did some television stuff, but we went to Tucker Max, which is a state-run prison. That's a maximum security, and we'd have meetings there, and he would play, and these guys, really, it was really interesting. He'd take a rockabilly tune and put hymns to it, you know. It's really neat, and he would turn them around, you know, an old Jerry Lee Lewis song or something like that, and put hymns to it, and the guys really just loved it. We got a lot of play out of that. You know what I'm talking about, Malcolm?
Yeah.
I
used to have a hard time with, mixing, but, you know, the secular and the sacred, but.
Yeah.
But if you look at a lot of the music from the Salvation Army back when they first started, and Martin Luther and a lot of other eras, people took basically bar songs, you know, low-life songs, and made hymns out of them. You know, and they became great hits because, you know, people knew the tunes already.
Yeah.
So, you know. I think with music, you have to be a little flexible. You also want to be kind of like just like that proverb, you know, that you don't want to just accept everything like the simple, but you want to be discerning. Because there is music, you know, I've heard that there are drummers that basically are demon-possessed. Because there's some music that is just plain evil. It's not the devil.
Yeah.
So you just want to.
Well, that's some guitar.
It's hard to know where. Go ahead.
There's some guitar players like that too.
Yeah. No, this Satan has used music.
Yep.
To his advantage, you know, and we just want to be careful. I'm not sure where to draw the line, but I just want to be listening and not necessarily going after what really necessarily feels good at the time, but just to be discerning.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Well, Lord uses some unusual things at times to get people's attention. I just like those old hymns, you know. Not the old. Not the red hymn.
I have to say, last night I was shoveling snow and I decided to turn on. So I won't mention the guy's name, but he did some incredible praise music that really blessed me. And
why won't you mention his name?
Well, he got into fornication, and to my knowledge, he hasn't repented of that.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so. So anyway, and I told my wife the story, and she won't even hear anything he has of any of his music. But I was out there, and it was for the Bride album, and I feel like this in the moment that he was doing this, at least for me, this is a blessing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out there with my shovel dancing on the cleared cement, you know, praising God and raising my shovel like a flag, and. Fortunately, all my family was sound asleep, so because it was about 4 in the morning.
Well, that's always a good time to do it, isn't it?
Yeah. But I was just rejoicing in the Lord, and it was, and, you know, I know the guy, I mean, I just feel terrible about what happened, and I just pray that repentance happens and everything, and there's reconciliation, but I'm just, at that point, it was just such a blessing to me, so.
Yeah.
But so,
it's the same one I'm thinking about. It was a shock to me.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And I know he was into false revival and stuff, so.
Oh, he was. We might not be talking about the same one then.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to QRT right now, just a second.
All right.
Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. Hey, Stan. Go ahead, brother. Or Claudia.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I was just going to say, when I was a little girl, my grandma used to play the hymns to ragtime. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure have. We had a lot of, you know what Boogie Woogie is? Claudia?
Yeah.
You know what Boogie Woogie music is?
Yeah. We can't keep having trouble with this, the sound on this.
Yeah. Well, they hadn't ever been able to figure it out, huh?
No.
Well, if they can't figure it out, I sure can't.
Well, we sure can't either, so.
Have you thought about going online and getting you an app that would do the same thing?
We don't know anything about that kind of stuff.
Well,
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't.
Application.
Yeah. What would the app do?
It could be like a microphone app, a recording app, or a real-time, I don't know, media type of thing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
We have that, Philip.
Well, yeah, we have programs like that. And I loaded Skype, and it works. It doesn't time out like this.
Well, so it's got to be something with Zoom then, right?
Seems like it, yeah.
Huh. What would happen if you called in on Skype?
Yeah, that probably. Well, then we'd be using the. Well, yeah, that should work.
I don't know if it would or not. I don't know. But you might try that next time, and we'll see. Or maybe I can call you in the next couple of days, and we can try it out.
Yes.
Okay.
Even our lights. Our lights are. Have you noticed it? Sometimes gets dark, and then it gets light. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
We're not doing anything. It's just doing it on its own.
Really?
Yes.
It's.
Oh, that's what I'd said too.
The voltage is going down, up and down in the
really?
Grid.
Really? Yeah. You're on the grid. That's right. Yeah. Off the grid.
No, we're on grid.
On grid.
Oh, are you?
And it's not stable. Yeah.
Oh, you must be at the end of the line.
Could be.
End of the line. Okay, anybody else? Anyone else? Dave, you got something you want to share? All right. We had a bunch of good ones from Proverbs tonight.
Yeah, I didn't get anything from Proverbs.
Okay.
I didn't ask him for anything. I figured if you wanted to give me a Proverbs, you would. But I got this Ezekiel 12 here within the last week twice. So,
Ezekiel 12 what?
Once was 25. Well, today was 25. Then last Thursday was 27.
Okay.
I have a daily file, I thought, but today it came up with 25, excuse me, and it says, "For I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be accomplished. It will no longer be delayed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word, and I will fulfill it, says the Lord God." Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, behold, the house of Israel is saying, the vision of Ezekiel sees is for many years from now. And he prophesies of times that are far off. Therefore say to them, says the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I speak will be fulfilled completely, says the Lord God."
Amen. What do you think he's telling us?
Hey, he's not leaving much near for interpretation. He's going to...
No.
That's okay. But I got that, you know, whenever I get something repeatedly real quick behind each other, and it's right in the same chapter and same, you know, within verse of each other, it's it's not a coincidence. So,
verse 24, "For there should be no more any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak the word that I will speak, and it will be performed." You know, we have seen an election that was won by prayers. God said he'd do it. He's told us that if we pray and believe that he'd do it, he did it. The man's in there. All we have to do is keep praying. Now.
Yep. I think we're going to be needing the direction he wants to take it, because it's his will that's going out. You know, we're seeing his will being formed too.
Yeah. Well, Lord is showing us right now. What he's told us, I've told everybody else this, what he's told us in a lot of scriptures we got this morning, in all of them that we got, he said, "Repent of your idols." Repent of idols, the idols of news junkie. You know, that's a big one around here. It's being a news junkie. And he wants us to repent of that. And he says he will answer our prayers on these things that are coming up Christmas Day and thereafter, a few days thereafter, and all the way up to the first. There are some things that have been prophesied that's supposed to come to pass, but the Lord said if we'd repent and pray, they wouldn't come to pass. And so that's what we're doing. We're Lord's cleaning house. I hear something running. Is that a fan? No?
Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really been bearing witness to me. Like you said earlier, I missed a lot of it. I'll have to listen to the recording, but because I've been making fudge and sending it out to people, and I tend to have to clean up the pan, you know, I'm wanting to really cut back and just be before the Lord without eating. But and also I tend to be so fascinated by what's going on, like I'm sure many others are. It's a temptation to follow the news rather closely when the Lord's, I mean, it sounds like we're making the news as it goes anyway. So it's just fascinating to watch how everything's interplaying. It's just, it's a distraction. You can let it be a distraction and if it doesn't have its proper place. By the way, there's a guy that really did a lot in the kingdom. I don't know where he's at now. He was on the Elijah list, unfortunately. I don't know where that went, but he said the Lord told him he could not use a computer because it was too much of a distraction. He couldn't use a computer at all. He said there would be other people who the Lord would arrange to take care of that part for him. So it can be a terrible distraction. I want to tell you that the Proverbs that I ran across, just to get some maybe your thoughts or whatever, Proverbs 25, verse 19, or verse 20, I'm sorry, 25:20. It says, this is one version, it says, like one who removes a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on a natron, what is that? That's a mineral salt found on dry lake beds, often used as a preservative, or like vinegar on a natron, is he who sings songs to a heavy heart.
Okay, let me read to you what the ESV says. It says, whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda. That kind of put it in. Yeah.
Well, vinegar and soda, oh my goodness. That's a reaction there.
Yeah. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart. And that's the one you were talking about earlier, wasn't it?
Right.
It's like one who takes off a garment on a cold day. And like vinegar on soda. I ain't going to mess up my soda with no vinegar.
By the way, that's great for if you run into a skunk and it gets all over you, you mix soda and vinegar. I guess it's hydrogen peroxide with vinegar, with soda. Hydrogen peroxide with soda, and the reaction causes you to... it just kills the skunk. We've used that on our dog, and it's like... totally awesome. I mean, there's old wives' tales like using tomatoes, mash up tomatoes and put it on the
tomato juice.
Tomato juice, yeah. But this stuff is like right now. It's the smell is gone. It's pretty cool. So, but anyway, now
go ahead.
I'm just looking at that because there is a principle there. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be there. In the word, so.
Well, what do you see? Anybody see anything on that one there? Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda. Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. This is just... What do you think he's talking about there? Because it's not good. It don't look like it's good. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like somebody who takes off their garment in a cold day, like vinegar on a soda. And then you go back in and you see where Saul was soothed by the music of David. So it's kind of a deal there. It must be some kind of big spiritual deep thought there. Has anybody got an idea?
Maybe it's the kind of music that's being played. Well, like if you're heavy-hearted, you're downcast, I don't think you want anybody around you singing happy songs because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, because the person might be like, you know, that's a slap in the face to that person because, you know, here they are all heavy-hearted and you're coming and singing happily to them. I don't know. It could be the music, though.
Well, I know when I've got a heavy heart, I like good uplifting music myself. So I don't know.
If they're talking about an unbeliever, I thought, okay, right. Okay, I see what you're saying. But, I mean, if they're talking about an unbeliever, I mean, if someone in general that has a heavy heart, I don't know. Well, never mind. Scratch that.
Well, how can we interpret that spiritually speaking? Does anybody see anything here? We see you, Andrew. Put you on the spot here.
I think it's the heavy heart. That's what the guy's problem is. You got a heavy heart, and you're just trying to be mellow with this in a melody sort of way. And it's not going to work with him. It's gonna probably put him in a deeper depression. In a heavy heart, you have to find out what that is in his heart that's making him heavy.
Yeah,
the burden that he has, and take that off of him. You need deliverance, I think.
Yeah, it could be.
That makes sense.
Yeah, could be.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
This is Terry.
Oh, hey, Terry. How you doing, girl?
Hi. I'm doing good. My thought on that is along the lines of you should mourn with those who are mourning and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And so if someone is just really, really down, that would make them feel, you know, kind of rejected if people were just being happy around them. Singing happy songs. I don't know. That's my thought on that.
That's how I was thinking in that regard too. Like,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just me. I always like somebody to encourage me to uplifting things, and that's just me. I don't know about anyone else, but when I get down, man, I like to put on something that's encouraging, you know.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, if my husband had just died or something, yeah. I think I would want people to, you know, just, you know, mourn with me.
Yeah, you wouldn't want somebody to come in there and start dancing around and sing, would you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. That could be. Okay, anybody else? I want to read this just for a moment, if I might. I believe it'll help some people. This is out of the Delivered from Dark Powers that we're in. So when demons attempt, we're talking about spiritual warfare, okay? When demons attempt to seduce people who are loyal to the Lord and His word, they have an authority over the demons to rebuke them. But when the demons have gotten too far in the person, possessing a person, the people represented, and he used a deal here. I won't even go through that. But when the demons have gotten too far, they've been overcome. If he's a Christian, he still has authority. He still has authority, even if he's been overcome by these demons. And if they repent of this thing that caused them to be overtaken by these spirits in the first place, and if they have faith to exercise their authority or go to someone who has authority or both, then you can get delivered of it. You can get delivered of it that quick. Demons will speak to you. They'll jump up on the shoulder and they'll speak real subtly to you. You won't think it's a demon, but it's a demon if it's thinking negative thoughts to you. They attempt to test you. Anyone who listens to them speak through others or listens in their own mind will lose their freedom. Don't put up with it. Rebuke it. If you listen to them, their words are demonic and they have power. If you listen, they will take you where you don't want to go. So you just rebuke them, because God gave us the authority over them in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 and other ones. Matthew 18 and 19 is a good prime example. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that includes every demonic power that is on this earth. A person does not have authority over Satan when they've disobeyed God's word and been turned over to Satan for chastening. And by that, he's talking about anybody in willful disobedience, anybody that's come against God's word, come against God's people, factious person, somebody like that. But if they repent, then they can get deliverance from it. Those tormenting demons are there for one purpose, either two reasons, either to chasten you or to test your faith. That's the only two reasons they're there. It's to chasten you or to test your faith. So when you repent of whatever it is, it might be there, or if you've already repented up and you don't know of anything, then it's a test of your faith. And then you just use the authority that God's given us. You come against that demon. You tell them right away, I don't have to put up with this. I'm a child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ took you on his back at the cross. And all I have to do is to tell you to go, and you have to obey in the name of Jesus. And they'll go. They have to. That's the only thing they can do. You have authority. If you agree and you have faith and believe. That devil tries to bluff people. He tries to tell them that he's got a little bit of authority because of this or that and the other. But if you've repented of that stuff, you tell them to go. No, I've already repented of it. Jesus took it on his back at the cross, and I don't have to put up with your mess anymore. They can't take you. A devil cannot torment you without your permission. And you can give permission in one or more ways. One of the ways that you give the devil permission is through your sin. Another is to determine to walk in sin. In other words, willful disobedience. Or you walk after idols because they are more important to you than obeying God. Or you give in to deception or to seduction by evil spirits, and on and on and on. But if you give them that authority, that devil's going to take it. They'll take it every time. But what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and you have the authority if you repent it up. Does that make any sense to anybody? That's the way God wants us to walk. He wants us to walk in that authority that he's given us. Adam, if you remember the story about Adam and Eve, Adam obeyed Satan and lost his authority. Same thing happens today. People get demon possessed because they obey Satan. So best thing we can do is to repent up and rebuke the devil, and he's got to go. Amen. Next week, Thursday, I want to talk a little bit about some more spiritual warfare, of course, but I'll get in some stuff. It gets kind of sticky at times, and one of them is Well, we'll just wait and see what happens. I'm not going to give anything out right now. We'll just wait and see what happens, see what the Lord. That's what he's put on my heart to do for Thursday night, but he could change it between now and then, so I better just hang on. Hang on. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about before we close out? We got a little bit of time left.
Yeah, this is Malcolm again.
Hey, Malcolm again.
Yeah, I would solicit everybody's prayers. For me, I think it's wonderful to praise the Lord, and I think that's the important part. But I don't want to be happy-go-lucky and flippant and whatnot about what because we all sense that we have a very short amount of time left, and I just caught just a little bit of what you were saying at the beginning there, Michael. I'll have to go back and listen to it, but I don't want any idols of whether it's appetite or anything else, or any kind of distractions that would keep me from just focusing on the Lord and being humble before him and seeking his face and be just walking in faith. I know we all are, we're all praying for ourselves and for others. I just wanted to be included if you just happen to think about it. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I try to pray for everybody when I during the week. Praying for everybody, and I hope everybody else is praying for each other too. That's a good thing to do daily. Just thank the Lord for the things that we need to pray for. We've already prayed the prayer of faith, so we just thank him from then on. Thank you, Lord, for Princess's deliverance and her healing, and Malcolm. We thank you, Lord, that you are taking these idols away from all of us, Lord. We praise you for that. Yep, that's good. It's good stuff. Anybody want to pray about anything?
I've had all these dreams about flying, and I just want to be there. I want to be flying.
Oh, flying?
You know, well, we've all had these dreams where you just, gravity isn't a big issue. I want to be part of those translating type people, so...
David and I was talking about that today, about translating, various.
Yeah. No, I don't want to be praying for this for selfish reasons. I just want to be close to the Lord and have my heart beating with his. So that's it.
Well, I want to see it. I want to, we ought to have, Lord, just give us a little bit of fun, How many of you would like to show up in Obama's office someday? Just pop, you're there. Hey, man. We got something we need to talk about. And you got a message from God that changes his life.
Huh? Yeah.
Somebody like it, or Hillary. God bless her soul.
Yeah. Amen.
Or somebody like that, because Saul was that away, wasn't he? Saul was killing folks. Acting ugly, thought he was doing God's work. And when all these Muslims are doing the same thing. How many of you'd like to go over there and hit one of them Khomeinis or whatever they call themselves and just show up?
Michael, I think it is okay to I mean, we want to pray for the benefits of the gospel in addition to walking closely with the Lord. I mean, because in Psalms it says over and over to see, even though I'm of old age, I want to see your glory I want to show forth your praise, your glory to the younger generation. So there is a place for wanting to show God's glory to others, in these miraculous ways. So anyway.
Absolutely. It's, always interesting to talk about them and believe God for them. David and I were talking about him being translated over to that church in Eastern Europe somewhere today. And I asked him, I said, well, what did you have on? He said, I don't remember. I said, I don't know. I said, well, did you have anything on? He said, I don't know. I could have been standing stark raving naked in front of him. I don't know. But y'all have heard the story where God translated him out of his bed into a big Gothic looking church over in Eastern Europe, he thinks. And people were waiting on him. They started, you know, praising God that he got there. Apparently they had prayed him in there, or, you know, somebody like him in there that, to give him the truth. I said, well, what'd you preach about? He said, I don't know. He said, but I bet it was good, because he preached in tongues and he didn't know what he preached. But he said, I said, well, did you stick around and have a little fellowship? He said, no, as soon as I got through talking, I was back in bed. But that's a trip, ain't it? That's a trip. And he said the people were just ecstatic to see him. So it was an awesome time. I won't do that. Y'all, anybody ever been translated in this group here? I hadn't either, but I'm going to. I'm going to. Well, all right, Lord, I just thank you for tonight's. Thank you for all these great words we've got, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters here, Father, that you're drawing us ever closer. You're getting rid of all of this dark stuff in our lives, Lord, and all of these idols. The only idol we need, Lord, is you. That's it. That's where we ought to be focusing. All of our attention is on you, Lord. It's that time. It looks like we're right here on this, on the verge of going into the wilderness. And Lord, we need to be in great standing in the kingdom. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to get us all ready, because we believe. We have faith to believe you, Lord, that you're doing that in us. And we thank you for it. Lord, I ask that tonight that you give us dreams and visions and things, of the things to come, Lord, and that we would know, you know, what your plans are for the next little bit, Lord. And I thank you for it. Lord, give us also words to pray about and to pray against things or for things that you want us to pray for. And we thank you. Lord, I just thank you for all the things that you've already answered prayers about in this national election, Lord. It's been awesome to watch you work. And to see everybody just absolutely amazed at what's going on. And it's nothing but you, Lord. And we give you the praise and the glory for all that you're doing up there. Lord, we thank you for exposing all the corrupt, evil things that are going on up there. That Pizzagate thing, Lord, we ask that you expose that and get rid of that real quick. They're hurting a lot of kids. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do it. And we praise you, Father, for protecting us and giving us a good night's sleep tonight, and walking with us and guiding us all the way until Thursday night, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Good night, y'all.